welcome to Up Nerd. This is the Variety Show. This time out, I am talking about one of my favorite game series, the Yakuza / Like a Dragon series by Ryo Gagotoku Studio. Boy, did I butcher that. I am not Japanese. Luckily, I am not alone. I am with Abby-san.
Konnichiwa. アビーで史上最高のポッドキャストとして広く知られているアップナードポッドキャストネットワークへようこそ。For all you baka des out there,
however, I will deign to speak English instead.
Wow, you were practicing that earlier, I'd like to point out.
I was.
And what, you decided to go with the slightly less robotic sounding than you usually voice on the phone instead?
Okay, fine. If that's the way you want it, that's the way you got it. Konnichiwa, Abi desu. Shiju seko no podcastu to shite hiroku shirarite iru upload podcastu to netwaku e yokoso.
The Yakuza series originated way back in 2005 with the first game. It has since then been through 9 mainline titles in total,culminating in the latest release, which is earlier this year. It has been renamed to Like a Dragon to reflect the Japanese name, but debuted as Yakuza in 2005 on the PlayStation 2. Yakuza ostensibly is a franchise revolving around a crime drama. You play as Kazuma Kiryu, or Kiryu-san, or Kiryu-chan, depending on who is saying his name.
Chan is the diminutive. You would use that for a child or a loved one or some sort of pet.
Kiryu is the protagonist in every numbered game from 0 to 6. But 7 and 8, the hero is Ichiban Kasuga. You occasionally change protagonists at different points during these stories, but in general, you're one of those two through the majority of these games. The games are, like I said, a serious crime drama, and I'm trying hard not to laugh because that's exactly what they are not in the sub-stories. What are sub-stories, you ask? I'm glad you asked that, Abby.
Sub-story とは何ですか?
It's worth noting, I don't speak Japanese, I don't know if you could tell that, it's worth noting that the Yakuza series, it's a series of action RPG with RPG elements. And you're running around and there's always an overarching plot.
Yes.
Like, I think, what was it, in Zero? It was somebody owns this one vacant lot in Tokyo that's worth like $1 billion.All the crime families are trying to find the owner of this vacant lot to get them to sign over the rights to that crime family.
What's interesting here is in between all of that, it is a non-serious game with a ton of mini-games. There are sub-stories, which are little sort of mini-plots involving other people around the city. What's really important to the series are the characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things and a couple of reasons why I absolutely adore this series, and one of them is the characters. Kiryu is a very sort of stoic character. He canonically has not killed anyone, which, by the way, is hilarious because, I mean, you play the game and you do things.
Well, just like Batman. Batman, non-lethal.
At one point, he shoots a helicopter down with a gun.
Yeah.
The most important portion of this is that Kiryu is very stoic, and Kiryu is very much almost sort of a cowboy or samurai-esque hero. He's very intractable in his idea of justice, and his ideas of justice throughout every single game are just treat people well and treat people with respect. And it's really refreshing for these open world games. Frequently in these open world games, you play as somebody who is less than desirable, frequently, or you're given the options to participate in things that are less than desirable. This doesn't. Kiryu is canonically a good person, despite being, on occasion, a member of the Yakuza. He frequently, by the way, gets kicked out, which is usually somewhere in the plot. He gets kicked out and dragged back in, and his sense of justice and honor and everything else puts him at odds with somebody, and there's some sort of big twist near the end.
Yeah, character is a big part of it. When it comes to games wherein you are ostensibly playing a criminal, the two big ones are going to be the Yakuza games and the Grand Theft Auto games,
yeah.
Right? super different.
In terms of open world games, you can't bring it up without bringing up the Grand Theft Auto series.
Kiryu is a member of the Yakuza, like being a member of the mob in Italy. So you name this game Yakuza, you're basically naming it the mob. So you have certain expectations that come with a name like that. So you're expecting to do the kinds of things that the Yakuza do. And you do sometimes, although for the most part, it's been really very refreshing at how much you are encouraged to be a good person in the Yakuza games. And I feel like in the Grand Theft Auto games, you are not encouraged to be a good person.
Yakuza as a series, like Grand Theft Auto, the two portions of itself are at odds with each other. However, in Grand Theft Auto, for example, you will frequently harm innocents whether you want to or not. There are missions, in fact, where you are encouraged to do so. None of that exists in Yakuza. You are, in fact, supposed to go out of your way to help people. If you are to cause them any sort of accidental harm, you're penalized severely. The game in general makes it clear that you are to try to be a good person.
That you're the good guy. Yeah. You're part of the Yakuza, but what does that mean? Yes, for some people it means, you know, picking on people and going to get the debts back. The way that they write Kiryu and a lot of his ilk is that he is very much a good guy in a weird situation. In a situation where you wouldn't necessarily expect a good guy to be present.
He is characterized by his kindness. He is the opposite of most of these characters. And frankly, in a lot of the beat-em-ups, you get sort of the standardized version of a male power fantasy. I'm a big, strong man. I beat up who I want. And strength is the most important thing. For Kiryu, kindness is the most important thing.
Yeah, it's a different kind of power fantasy where you can still beat up the bad guys and stuff like that, but you can also just run around and help people.
Yeah, and you're encouraged to do so. It's fascinating. And like Grand Theft Auto, the things you do in between the missions don't match up. There is the comic, Penny Arcade. Grand Theft Auto 4 protagonist, guy whose name I can't remember now.
It doesn't matter. It's some white guy name. It was like Trevor or like...
No, it wasn't. That was the big thing in Grand Theft Auto 4, remember?
I
he was
know.
Not white.
It's some...
His cousin Roman.
It's some...
And... I can't remember.
It's like
remember.
Trevor
Anywho.
Or Michael or something. Or...
No, that's five.
It's like Trevor or Michael or
so,
Steve or...
No.
It's like I Trevor or
the,
Michael.
I miss the AI
or
voice
Steve
at this point in the AI.
Like Brian
anyway,
or like...
He picks up a date and she asks him if he had trouble getting there. And the grill of his vehicle is filled with all the people he ran over. Grand Theft Auto, things don't match up. You do awful, awful things, and then you're encouraged to take out your cousin Roman for bowling, or go on a date, or whatever. Yakuza is very similar in the tonal shifts, but they're very wholesome. You do things like pocket racers, for example, or in the most recent one, build an Animal Crossing island and fix it up. You play a version of Pokemon. It's crazy. The things in between your important, dark, gritty crime story are frankly silly, and it's deliberate, and the tonal shift, it's something that they say absolutely do not do in your video game, but in the Yakuza franchise, in that franchise, it just works. It works really well. It works as a palate cleanser. It's not a tonal shift like it is with something like, say, Thor, Love and Thunder. There's a tonal shift in that one of the characters has cancer in it, and they immediately go back to cracking jokes within a line. It doesn't work. Whereas in something like this, that happens as well. But it does work.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what it is, but somehow with these characters and with this setting, they've kind of done the impossible, that all of these disparate elements just merge to create something that's even better than every individual portion of it.
I am going to relate to the audience an experience that I recently had with Yakuza, which illustrates this point beautifully. So audience, you will be experiencing this just as I have. You are at the end of one of these sub-stories, these side quests. The game takes place in Hawaii. There's no snow in Hawaii. You promised an elderly man that you would find a way to make it snow in Hawaii so that his wife, who is dying, could experience the snow that they had on their first, you know, trip together. It's beautiful. At the culmination of that quest line, there are a bunch of guys in diapers with your protagonist on a roof, ripping open the diapers and using the absorbent material inside of them to throw them at the window of the elderly man and the elderly woman's, like, house, so that it looks like it's snowing. And she's thrilled. And I'm bawling like a baby. I had to leave the room afterwards, after she passed. And meanwhile, we leave on this, you know, beautiful shot, buck naked boys from behind, as we just pan up to the sky, because they did it. They made it snow in Hawaii, and they made this dream come true. I sobbed in another room for a good, like, 15 minutes. So it's that weird kind of dichotomy where, like, yes, you're gonna meet these weird gang of thugs who like to go run around in diapers, and that's very silly, but you can really ground it in something very
weird. They are recurring characters, might I add, too.
That's why I wasn't, like, super surprised, but I was still surprised to see that they had made it all the way to Hawaii.
To Hawaii,
from
yes,
Japan.
After appearing in other games which take place in Japan, but I guess everybody needs a vacation. It's important.
I played Zero, which was, I think, like, the 9th one to come out, but canonically it's the first, like, in the storyline or whatever.
6th one
or whatever.
To come out.
I don't know. I don't speak Japanese. I played that one, and it's as you say, it's not even a male power fantasy, because I'm not male, and it's a power fantasy of, like, I can run around. If I see thugs beating up a woman for her purse, I can go and beat them up. That's great. If I see a small boy who's sad because he doesn't have anybody to play Matchbox Cars with, I can go and play Matchbox Cars with him. That's awesome.
Yeah, as this hardened Yakuza, might I add.
Yep, yep, yep.
And nobody bats an eye at any
No, because it's just,
and,
like, that's what you would do if you were a human being, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, Kiryu doesn't mock people for their interests. And then we get to 7 and 8, which introduces a new protagonist, Ichiban. Ichiban is similar, but more kind-hearted.
He's a simpler man.
He is a little more, I think we'll say, naive. He's a little less hardened to the world than Kiryu, but he has an even bigger heart. Mm. Everything he does comes from a desire to help people and to make people proud of him.
Yeah, so the interesting thing, too, is that all of the protagonists, in fact, like, most of the people who end up being in the Yakuza, in the Yakuza games, are people who didn't really have too many other choices. Everybody's an orphan. It's very much a hearkening back to the sort of lone samurai type thing. But it's also very interesting because a big part of Kiryu's character arc over the games is, what do you do when you're a kid with, you know, very few role models who wants to make a name for himself? I guess you join the mob, and then we get the games.
Throughout the stories, he ends up booted from the Yakuza fairly early on.
But it's for very, very good samurai reasons.
Yes.
He will take the blame.
He ends up booted out, and he ends up running the orphanage where he initially grew up, and he ends up with a surrogate daughter, and a lot of the games is him raising them as well, too. And it's fascinating, the different things you do and the different ways that the series goes and the different ways they kind of drag him back in.
Yeah, there's always something. Like, he keeps trying to get out of the Yakuza game, but there's always some reason for him to come back in. You know, he will go to jail to protect somebody else, even though he didn't do it. He will take the blame for something and get... I think they were going to kill him originally to take the blame for somebody else because this other person has a sister and they have to take care of them. And no. Yeah, Kiryu will fall upon his sword to make this happen. It's as you say, it's like the cowboy samurai mythos.
The other thing that the games do, quote, wrong, unquote, is 0 through 6 are, for the most part, set in the exact same place. The fictional district of Kamurocho, as well as frequent jaunts to Sotombori. Mm. in general, you don't want the same setting for your video game, especially in each sequel, because it makes them feel similar or the same. But what it's done with these games is the exact opposite of that, in that it begins to sort of feel like home.
Yeah, it's kind of like going home.
There's sort of a relaxation to it. The cities are built well. Part of that clearly is the fact that they're based on actual cities. But also, it feels lived in. It feels vibrant and alive in a way that a lot of the cities in other open world games don't. Combined with the way that the game sort of pushes you forward without holding your hand at the same time. You always say...
It's another Penny Arcade philosophy lesson, right? So that was their gripe about GTA, I'm going to say 4 or 5 when it came out. It's that they couldn't get into the GTA games either. Because when you are given the choice to do anything, so often human beings will choose to do nothing. And that's very true in my own life, and I think for a lot of people as well, which is if you have too many possibilities, you just get this information overload, so on and so forth.
How you get there and what you choose to do to get there before getting there is up to you. And in each game, there are sort of similar mini games, things to do. There's always an arcade somewhere where you can play full-on actual other video games. You can play Fantasy Zone or Virtua Fighter or Hang-On or most of the different Sega arcade games. One of the games had a playable Sega Master System with complete like Sega Master System games, like the Alex Kidd's franchise.
There's always some kid who wants something from the stupid claw machine in each one of these stupid games.
Too. There's always, UFO catchers. There's always dart games, as in actual darts. There's bowling. There's pool. There's batting cages. It's insane.
That is also a hallmark of the Yakuza games, which is these other games that are in these games. I think the closest that sort of comes with it would be like Final Fantasy VIII, and you had Triple Triad as the card game, or you had The Witcher 3 and Gwent.
And Gwent.
Which is a card game that became its own thing. It was actually pretty good. I think it's defunct now. But it was a card game that you could play in the game, and when you just needed a break from the game, you could just go to a tavern, find somebody, and then just play a game of Gwent.
And the Like a Dragon games are filled with these, though. And one of your favorite lines when we're playing games or talking about games is they didn't have to go this hard. Well, guess what? That is basically the entire series of these games summed up.
Well, and it's getting worse because the latest
one... It's insane. This current one has Animal Crossing built into it. It's a full other game.
It has, in fact, two other games built into it. So you got your Yakuza game, which is your turn-based RPG game. There is Tsujimon.
Which is Pokemon.
It's the legally distinct Tsujimon Fighting League.
You have to get them all.
You have to get them all. Mm-hmm. It's Pokemon Go. It's the same thing as... It's literally that. So that's the second game that is within this larger game. And then just this morning, after what, like 20, 30 hours of playing it, you unlocked the, I don't know what to call it, the Animal Crossing game within it, which is where you get your own little island and you can have residents move in and you can farm and you can build up your little island and you're making your own little city.
You build buildings, you craft buildings.
I didn't know what I was expecting. It looked like I would have thought somebody who's making like a city builder game in Unity or something like that, or Unreal Engine would be like, you know, like it is impressive how much they have put into this one game. Which is good, because they were on my no-no list for a little while. Shall we talk about that?
It's difficult because they have begun, and they being Sega in this case, the process of selling things as downloadable content.
Yeah. So the whole trend within the game industry for the past 10 years is, how do we get more money from our players? How can we sell things? How can we do the least amount of work and get the most amount of money? So then you get, you know, loot boxes, and you can pay for a different hat for your character if you want, and it'll cost you $10. It's gotten real bad. Dragon's Dogma 2, I think, what did they do? They had, you could pay to actually use like a fast travel system in the game.
Well, the majority of things were available eventually in game, but not for quite some time. And so you are selling people things that are regular portions of normal video games.
But these are sort of fundamental mechanics in Dragon's Dogma's case with fast travel that you would expect to be integrated into the core gameplay, and in every other game it is.
And it bothered me initially. It's one of the reasons I did not pick up Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is the current game, at launch. However, now that I'm playing it, it doesn't really bother me at all because the amount of content in the game is insane.
That's the thing. So the big controversy was that they were going to start charging for something called New Game Plus. New Game Plus is usually when you finish the game and you've got these super power leveled characters and things like that. New Game Plus is you can play the game over again, but you usually keep all your upgrades and things like that, so you don't have to go back to being a level one scrub. You can just sort of like blast through the game and sort of experience. Sometimes there's new content. Sometimes there's stuff that's only available in New Game Plus. Things like that. So they, Sega, in Yakuza Like a Dragon, this latest one, put New Game Plus behind a paywall. So you had to pay, I don't know, call it $10. Yakuza has had it for some time. You know, why all of a sudden would you do this versus just having that, which has become almost an expectation now, or it's, you're taking a service that you had always provided to the clients and you're causing them to pay for that. And it left a bad taste in my mouth. That was when I thought, oh, this little, you know, there's going to be like a little mini Animal Crossing game in it. It's a full game itself. It's a full game. And I'm a little bit more forgiving of them now for charging for, you know, extra things. That sits a little bit better with me now, seeing how much work they've put into everything else.
You can't accuse them of removing or not having content.
Yeah.
It's insane to me what is there in this game. There's entire dungeons that reset, and you can play over and over again, and they will change. And we haven't even mentioned that. I mean, the amount of stuff there and replayability is nuts. So it still stinks. It still sucks that they took it out, but alternatively, I can't accuse them of not trying, or I can't accuse them of nickel and diming the series or not giving it their all, because you mentioned this. It feels like the fever dream of somebody who knows they're leaving a series or something, even though it's not.
There's so much work that they put into this, the latest Yakuza game, that it's like, what, like, is somebody dying? Is this his, like, last thing? Is this his magnum opus? That's the kind of thing we should be paying for. There's a weird dichotomy between what video game companies think people will pay for and what people actually pay for, and what video game companies think people will want and what people actually want.
Yeah, we've talked about this a few times on the show, that there's a rather large divide between the gamer and the actual kind of people who greenlight these games, essentially.
I also don't like the precedent that it might set, which is that, oh, people will pay for New Game Plus. Why should any other company have New Game Plus if people will pay $15 extra for that? This game also caught, it's a full cost game. It deserves it, clearly. But this is a full, $80 Canadian game. So other people are going to see that and say, wow, people are willing to pay $80 for a game. And then also $15 we could ask for New Game Plus instead of having to roll that into our $80 game like we did before 2024. If you had not purchased this Yakuza game, we were never going to be a household that purchased the Yakuza game again because of this kind of shenanigans. We have to take a stand somewhere. And now I don't know what to do. We have to vote with our wallets, which I suppose means not paying for New Game Plus, but it's almost not enough, you know?
Yeah, but alternatively, I mean, you vote with your wallets by not buying the ones that don't have an insane amount of content or effort put in that are still doing the same thing.
But did we know that it would have that beforehand? You know what I mean? Like,
I did, based on the way people spoke of it. Hmm. This is a franchise that, like any franchise that's been around a while, it's now sold 21 million copies total. So it's been around and it's done well for itself. Keep in mind that it largely was not popular or played in North America.
Or possible to buy on PC.
Yeah, really until Zero was its kind of breakout, both on PC and pretty much seemingly everywhere else, because the sales for it just started going crazy. part of that too might be the fact, so if you're going to ask me, should I play these games or try these games, Zero is absolutely the best point to start out. It is literally the starting point of the entire franchise because it is a prequel. It is also, so far, I have not finished 8. So far, Zero, I think, is far and away the best of the series overall.
So I played Zero after...
You played Zero after I finished 7.
I would even say, like, you could probably just pick up and start at 8 at, like, a Dragon Infinite Wealth. They're retitling the series, but it's Yakuza.
Well, you'd probably want to do 7, which is Yakuza Like a Dragon. And it is the first title with Ichiban, and it is sort of a soft reboot for it. But alternatively, like I say, I would wholly recommend Zero. And if you like it a lot, you can continue on with the mainline series, because 1 and 2 have been redone. They are called Yakuza 1 Kiwami, and then there's Yakuza 2 Kiwami.
Kiwami.
But yes, they are remastered versions of the originals that have been fixed up significantly, frankly, to make them playable, because I would not recommend playing, say, Yakuza 3. It is just very dated, and they are still trying to, I think, figure out exactly what this series was.
These were all on the PlayStation 2,
PlayStation 2.
Right? So that's over 20 years ago. So we were very different gamers back then, and we were willing to put up with very different things because we didn't know any better and we didn't have the technology.
Well, on a similar note, too, the other reason for a lot of the remakes, and 3 was also remastered to a certain extent, but in its case, it removed content, which the creator expressed remorse for, that really doesn't fit in with the series at all ever since then, and so they just flat out took it out, and it's never been in since then.
I don't know what that means, but...
The series had some moments which are frankly lol gay as the punchline to things. It feels completely out of place. It doesn't make any sense with the characters and really anything that happens. It's baffling to me how it got in there, and the creator was really unhappy with it. And like I say, it's been removed from every single subsequent release. This series has been known for being quite progressive, and to be blunt, especially for a Japanese series of games, which are very... The initial points where you could play as a female character, for example, in the Yakuza games, made waves back when they came out. Because that was not something...
Oh, look at everybody losing their minds because GTA 6 is going to have a girl as a protagonist.
It's a great series, though. And like I say, if you're looking to get into it, I fully recommend Yakuza 0. It is frequently on sale for under $5, which is an absolute steal on PC. You can find it in other places, but I mean, I played this franchise in totality on PC, and it worked really well. 3, 4, and 5 are still solid games, but they definitely show their age. 6 is built on sort of the Zero engine, so it plays somewhat similar to Yakuza 0, so it's still very, very playable. 7 and 8 are just completely different things with the turn-based combat that...
That I so crave. I just want a good Final Fantasy again. I just want a good Final Fantasy.
These games are very simple in that they understand me like C number go up, and all of the games have that. They are ridiculously... simplistic in how they reward the player, and it's just really well done. It's something that so many other games could learn from. Almost anything you could do in them is satisfying.
So yeah, interesting little game, and it's they have survived a major pivot in their game mechanics, right? Because they went from that sort of brawler action RPG to this is turn-based, this is Final Fantasy.
They've not only survived though, but they thrived through it. They're still releasing exceptionally good content, which is not something most studios can do, period. In terms of when you make a pivot like that, or you decide to change genres.
I mean, Square Enix, the guys who basically invented...
They haven't found a way to make it work since then, it feels like.
No,
they've,
not really.
They've tinkered with it. There have been neat sort of miniature systems and that kind of thing, but not sustain. And yeah, it's interesting to see a company... just sort of pivot to it and it certainly hasn't been perfect. There's a lot of sort of quality of life stuff that has improved between 7 and 8, but for a first effort at it, 7 was exceptionally good. It was just impressive.
Well, and this is also, again, in an environment where everybody's making Assassin's Creed 9. Nobody's taking these kinds of risks. Nobody's going to do that on their principal IP. But here we are. I'm willing to pay for the amount of content that you get. I'm willing to pay $80 for an $80 game. That's fine. We're going to see more of it. We're going to see more of the nickel and diming.
We already were. You mentioned Dragon's Dogma. I mean, that was happening no matter what. Yeah. And the backlash to companies that do it, like Capcom and Ubisoft, they are currently drowning and things are not good for them versus RGG doing the Yakuza series, who just keeps soldiering on.
Yeah, Ubisoft is interesting.
Somebody's mentioned that Yakuza and its franchise, or Like a Dragon, the franchise, is sort of the anti-GTA.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, LAD is also the anti-Assassin's Creed, whereas Assassin's Creed is really just, ostensibly, it's just the same formula each time, and it just seems more and more tedious each time.
Well, and the fact that they have not made an Assassin's Creed where you're a ninja yet.
It's also a moot point, though, because I don't care anymore. It's just going to be the same game of jump into climb high, jump into a occasional sort of stabby stab, walk into crowd, rinse and repeat. The issue is that the formula is old, and what I find fascinating is the formula to these Like a Dragon games is old. It's been done again and again, but it still works. They find a way to make it fresh and make it enjoyable, and it's this weird combination of these terrific, fun little mini games, a city that feels alive and feels like home, feels like a city you could live in or want to live in. Characters that, if you were in the trenches or something like that, these are the guys you'd want to be with. You know, they're gonna stick up for you. And
yeah, they're weird, but they're like decent guys, you know.
Yeah,
like, yeah, you're part of the mob, but like, you know, it's not because you want to be necessarily. What other choice do you have?
This weird sort of combination of things that shouldn't work, but this franchise just keeps chugging along and releasing exceptionally good content.
Yeah, so Like a Dragon, now it's called, I guess.
Yep.
Yakuza 8, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, the one that takes place in Hawaii. Very much recommend, I would say, that you'd say. I would be excited to play it once I'm done everything else I gotta do. I guess that's about as much of a recommendation I can give, not having played it myself.
Yeah, 0, 7, or 8. 0 if you think you'd like to try the franchise, period. 7 if you think you'd like to try it and maybe you don't like real-time combat or beat-em-ups or something like that. We didn't even get into one of the biggest games or mini games in all of them there since the beginning, which is one of the most famous things about it, the karaoke.
I do not like the karaoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Anyway, the karaoke is in all of them, and it has become a meme at this point.
I don't like the dancing.
Wow.
I don't like the dancing and the karaoke. I like the pocket cars, and I like the cabaret, and I like the real estate, and I like running around helping various cats and animals and stuff. So, yeah.
There's a sub-story where Ichiban gets a little bird living in his hair. You'll probably enjoy that.
Oh, I think I will enjoy that. Thank you.
Anyway, this has been another episode of UpNerd. Email us at upnerdpodcasts@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at upnerdpodcasts. Find us on Blue Sky, upnerd.
Go look it up right now. Go look it up right now. Right now, like 3 episodes ago, which is like 3 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm gonna give you a sticky note, blah blah blah.
Yeah, well, you didn't give me a sticky note.
Correct, because I was too busy editing the podcasts, your podcast.
Oh, Up who Nerd. Edited last week?
Up Nerd.
Anyway, it is something at. Anyway, we're also on Facebook as Up Nerd Podcasts on there. producer Basil Bear would like to remind you to
look up your social medias.
We are at upnerdpodcasts.bsky.social on Blue Sky.
There's not even a .com?
Apparently not.
This thing's never going to take off.
Thank you all for joining us. Feel free to rate and review the podcast. Everything helps. And like Kiryu and Ichiban, be kind to everybody and yourself.
Do...
Don't do crime.
I was going to do crimes, be kind. No, do helps.
Do helps, be smelps.
Go help all the cats.
That would have been a perfect time for producer Basil Bear to chime in, but alas.
And don't forget to join us next week when we will be going over Fine You Pick. It's my return pick, and it is Groundhog Day. Hey, buddy. Good boy.
I'm just going to shut her down now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye. Good boy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye. Good boy.
アップナードポッドキャストネットワークをお聞きいただきありがとうございます。次回は古典的な映画ダイアナザーデーについてお話ししますので、ぜひご参加ください。